the Hallmarkies podcast. We are really excited today because not only are we talking about the finale of season one of When Hope Calls, but we are also finished our television coverage, series coverage for 2019.
And thanks.
I'm so proud of that.
Doing our happy dance.
It's up there in my like lifetime accomplishments. I'm so excited. So today I am joined by Amy's here.
Hello, everybody.
Yay. And Cammy's here.
Hi. Yay. Happy almost Halloween.
I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. If you aren't watching the video version, you are missing out a little bit on my amazing background and also
I've got the Christmas lights ready to go. Yeah. I got them up.
We're sporting some really, really cool video backgrounds. So, yes.
And Cammy is sporting a Halloween scarf.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, baby.
We're being festive.
So, we're here with the finale. I think at the end, we're going to talk about sort of the season as a whole and maybe even how we feel about sort of the whole year a little bit, depending on how long we take of Hallmark Television for the year. But so we get this finale. What was your overall thoughts about this episode? What did you think, Amy?
Okay, so I've got to say, I started really getting into this season in, like, the last three episodes, mm-hmm. and now I'm kind of invested, like, in the show before, I was like, okay, this will be interesting, you know, it's a When Calls the Heart spin-off, but now I'm, like, really invested, and this episode, I was like, oh, they can't leave this like this, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more later, but I'm like, oh, no, don't do this to me, but I really enjoyed the episode, and it made me my heart very happy, and then it made my heart very unhappy at the end, and yes.
Yeah. Cammy, what about you?
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the controversial, conflictual conversations. There we go. And just the tense mood of everything. There were a couple of times where I thought that there were some missed opportunities, and it's not all their fault because they can't go into every avenue because of time. But I thought, oh, that would have been so good there. Oh, that would have been so good there. Oh, that would have been so good there. You know, but we can't go into that because it's a 45 mm-hmm. minute show. Mm-hmm. There are some things that I would have liked to see, but overall, I loved it. I thought the pace moved really well. I thought the action sequence went really well, and I'll save my really big opinion about the end for
when all right it. Yeah, I enjoyed the episode. At first I was a little irritated, and probably by design, because I just felt like, Grace, what are you doing? Like, let it go. This is not worth, like, you as a human being, you have to pick your battles. And uh-huh. her getting, like, it's not,
it was a cow.
Yeah, and nobody did anything to her.
Yeah,
like, so exactly. Why is she making a stink over this for something that's really none of her business, to be frank? I mean, and so it was just let it go. It does not, this, I don't know. I didn't understand her still being irritated. And so I was a little irritated at her.
She's an emotional woman. She's going to hold mm-hmm. on to it.
You gotta let it go, Grace. Just let it go. Let it be.
Oh, don't make me start singing.
I know. I just came in my head and I'm like, don't do it, Amy.
We're all a bunch of Disney fans here. We'll start singing. I don't know. That was frustrating to me, but I'm glad that they allowed her to be frustrating. Like, I want to watch shows where I'm occasionally irritated at the characters. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's, that's the difference between watching a movie and watching a television series. If I am watching a movie, it's okay if the characters aren't really deep, depending on the type of movie it is, of course. But the whole advantage of television is you're supposed to really be able to get to know the characters and spend time with them and dig deep. And so if I have no problem with a fluffy 2-hour movie, that's relaxing to me. That's fun. I enjoy it. Obviously I have this podcast, but for a television show, I want flawed characters. I want them to make mistakes. I want them to be stubborn. I want them to be stupid occasionally, you know, like, you can overdo it, of course, and then it's
oh yes, much. You can definitely mm-hmm. overdo it.
but you want it to be realistic.
Yeah. And so I like this, and because this is definitely not the case in all Hallmark television shows. And so I appreciated the fact that the writers of this series allowed their character to be flawed and to be kind of dumb and frustrating and all of that. I think that's good. And so it makes Grace a more interesting character than if she was just perfect and made all the right choices all the time. So I don't know. So even though I was irritated, I was kind of glad I was irritated, if that makes any kind of sense.
No, I completely agree with you, because I think that the more like a character or like a situation irritates you, like the thing is, in real life, you're going to feel that way too. Mm-hmm. So it gives them more of like you're able to relate to it more, because like you're not going to agree with everyone all the time anyways. So
I
completely disagree. No, I'm kidding.
Cammy agrees with everyone all the time.
Well, a lot of times in the Hallmark shows, they sort of leave this kind of learning to the children, mm-hmm. the children who make mistakes or the children who are kind of difficult or whatever. But and that's fine. It's fine. But you know, in A Good Witch, it was definitely like Grace who would, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes have to be Nick, who would be the ones that will learn. But I appreciated it. I think the writing, and we'll talk about it at the end, but I think the writing on this series has been really good, and they, mm-hmm. they did a very good job.
In the words of Hannah Montana, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days, you know?
Yeah. That's
right. Okay. But here is something that I do believe was a mistake, and I know it was probably scheduling mm-hmm. or availability or even money, but there was no Joe. There was no Joe and no Eleanor in the entire episode. I thought,
oh wow.
Because they were so involved and such a strong part of the premiere of the first episode that I really missed them.
That's a good point, especially because they had been kind of building little bit by little bit the Maggie Joe thing. Mm-hmm. And so even if it had just been a moment between the two of them, I think that would have been nice.
Yeah. Especially because there was that whole episode where they were so involved. Was that episode 9? Mm-hmm. Where they were, like, so involved and they were in, like, almost the whole episode. So, surprising that they weren't in it at all in this mm-hmm. one.
Yeah. So, the episode started out, we get a little bit that there's the school concert. And am I right that the only kids in the school are the orphans?
When we did that
mini concert.
The lady in the first episode that was like being annoying about the orphans, she had a daughter.
Pearl.
But, yeah.
Was she in like a little concert though at the end? I swear it was
no.
all
the No, it was just kids. The orphans doing that for their friend. It wasn't all the kids in the town or anything like that. Because I saw like two or three other kids that were running around at points throughout the season.
Because they were like, I don't know, I thought they said maybe they didn't say it and I just misheard something like, oh, since you missed the concert, the kids are having the concert for you. And then I'm like, that's just the orphans.
I think they were just doing it as like, like saying, oh, well, we're going to sing for you because we know you're going to miss it, because I think the concert was the next day or whatever. So they wanted to just like, but like all the kids, they might be busy. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. It was an impromptu thing. So.
Yeah.
They're decent little singers.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So I cute. Even wrote that down. I said, oh my word, they sound pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're a solid little children's choir. Mm-hmm. They were good. Yeah. It was good. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the case. Little kids singing sometimes.
No, it's not. Trust me, I've been there. Yeah. I had a children's singing company for 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, you do know.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
That is funny. All right. So then we have this conversation between Gabe and Sinclair. And we also get this little moment where we see that Chuck and Grace are still fighting, which is crazy, but they still are. And then also Gabe and Sinclair. And mm-hmm. Gabe asks Sinclair, what's up with the remaining 7K? What's happening? And Sinclair says, I'm prepared to protect what's mine.
And Sinclair has the audacity, I know he wasn't actually serious, but he has the audacity to ask Gabe, did you pocket it? I was like, oh, I mean, that guy was messing
Jeez,
with fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty little battle of wills, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so work with me on this. So What's all happening at the hotel? So Sinclair is getting a room.
Mm-hmm.
And who does he get the room under? I can't remember.
Himself.
For himself? Okay.
Yeah.
But then Gabe gets a room for Russell Meeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's the guy that we'd met a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
That he...
Who's going to squeal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets the room for Russell Meeks.
But that was part of a ploy.
Yeah.
That whole thing was to get Ronnie nervous and so that Sinclair would find out about it. And so it was all part of the trap. It was all part of the trap to try to snag Sinclair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically Sinclair ends up in Gabe end up on the patio looking out at Brookfield. And Sinclair says, you see the big picture from up here? And he's kind of leering a little bit.
Looking straight at Lillian.
Yeah, Lillian. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a little bit Sir Creeps a lot. And
yeah,
I guess I don't really understand. I get why he would want to have Sam sort of protecting Lillian, but why not just tell Lillian that's what's
happening? Exactly.
Like, why not just say, hey, there's this psycho person that made a vague threat to your life, and I am concerned, and so we're gonna have Sam kind of watch over just these couple of days or whatever, or some kind of thing.
Yeah, like they did earlier in the season when he had Chuck sit there in front of the house. Like,
yeah,
no, that was all Chuck's idea.
Well, that's true.
Chuck's idea.
But nevertheless, I guess I don't really understand why that had to be a secret. And, you know, certainly there was no need for Sam to break their window and like go on this all espionage, and the kids are like, What's going on with this guy?
Okay,
like,
well, number one, Gabe had to be really desperate to ask Sam to guard Lillian.
It's like there's no other men or like there's no other people in this town that can just like watch over.
In fairness, though, who else is going to be able to? It's not like, I don't know, if he got the weird horse farmer guy. If they got him, some random guy, and is like, hey, I need to hang around you all the time. Like, there's
weird.
Nobody else that would, like, would be a little weird. Whereas, like, at least Sam, that was sort of probable.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I just thought it was really interesting that Gabe would ask Sam,
right,
the guy who is obviously after his girl. And so I remember thinking, ooh, Gabe's really desperate.
The only other person that he could have asked would have been Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
that
Joe.
That could have been plausible, but Chuck was gone.
Yeah.
And Joe, but he wasn't in the episode.
Well, he wasn't in the episode, and also, like, his employment, that wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
For him to be watching over Lillian all the time. That wouldn't have made sense. But yeah, and so it is kind of, but I just don't know why they couldn't have involved Lillian in the conversation of, mm-hmm, like, protecting your life.
And it's not like he had to have told her exactly what was going on. Like, he could have just said, there was a threat made, I'm figuring it out, until then I want you to stay safe or something. Like, he didn't have to tell her exactly what was going on.
Like, Lillian's not some fragile creature. It's like, mm-hmm, I think she's a lot tougher than Grace, to be frank.
Because, yeah.
Because she's not as wounded as Grace. And so I think that she can handle it. I mean, she grew up an orphan. Like, she's not some, I don't know, precious woman, you know, that has never... has never faced any kind of challenges or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that might be part of it, because he said at the end, he said, you ran into a burning building to save a man's life. I didn't want to take a chance on what
true.
You might do.
Yeah.
So I think he didn't want to tell her because he was afraid that she might take matters into her own hands and he might do and that she might do something dangerous to be noble, but put herself in jeopardy. And we all know that he's in love with her, and so he wants to protect her.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I guess I was just thinking, maybe the only other person he could have asked is maybe he could have asked Tess.
Ooh. That would have been a test.
Not a chance in you know where.
but yeah, so that's a good point. I can see that. But yeah, so there's just all of this shenanigans happening at the hotel. And and then Sam, yeah, breaking the window. The two boys are like, older boys are, what is going on here?
A little
suspicious.
That was one of the places where I thought it was a missed opportunity. Go with Vincent being suspicious of Sam, but it just ended there. I thought,
yeah,
that would have been an awesome place to keep going with that. And for Vincent to wonder if Sam was up to no good, and maybe Sam tells Vincent but says, no, you can't tell Miss Lillian. You know, something like that. I was like, that was a missed opportunity right there. Mm-hmm. And I honestly thought that they were going to have Sinclair try something, or at least show up on the property or something to justify Sam being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so those were the two main missed opportunities that kind of bothered me. It was like, mm-hmm, oh man, they could have done something with that. But once again, there's a 42 minute show and time constraints.
You know? You think that the show has, if you were going to say things they could work on maybe for next season, do you think it needs a more central antagonist? Because that's one difference from When Calls the Heart, where you had basically Henry Gowan being your central antagonist for at least the beginning of the show. Now it's kind of not as much, but there's no, this kind of antagonist is more sort of like, similar to, say, like Andrew Walker's character on One Calls the Heart. Mm. Somebody like that, that's kind of, you know, isn't going to be there forever. It's coming in, has sort of nefarious whatever, but there's not like a true kind of antagonist character to
this series.
Well, because
I thought Sam would be that, but then now he seems like the nice guy who makes furniture. Like,
Who's going to be in the love triangle.
Yeah. So like maybe someone should come in next season and, you know, be, maybe one of them has an old beau, one of the girls that could come in and be a nasty guy. I don't know. Who knows?
What do you think, Cammy, about that?
About the old beau or about the central antagonist?
Central antagonist.
I think it could go either way because I've seen shows with not a particular antagonist, but just characters who come and it's worked. And I didn't necessarily have a problem with there not being a central antagonist. I remember the first season of Once Upon a Time drove me absolutely crazy because something's wrong. Oh, the Wicked Witch did it. Something's wrong. Oh, the Wicked Witch did it. Something's wrong. You get my point. You
know? I mean, she is Regina, the queen of...
Yes, I know. But it was... It got boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It got... And if I hadn't been able to binge watch the first season, I may have quit because mm-hmm. Because I got bored. It's like,
yeah,
it's the Wicked Queen's fault. Whoop-dee-doo. So that's not necessarily one of the things I would have pegged as something that needs to be worked on, but if they choose to go that way, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think it may have advantages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does kind of give it a little bit more of a kind of a Western feel, I think, mm-hmm. when
yeah.
you have kind of that sort of outlaw or the, not outlaw, those are the good, like the you have sort of a ne'er-do-well that I feel like, and they have done a good job with Henry Gowan as far as kind of building his character mm-hmm. and making him work, but yeah, I don't know, something that, it's not a big deal, it's just something I kind of wondered if that could be, how satisfying this whole Sinclair thing really was, as opposed to if there had been like a, I don't know, a greedy mayor or somebody like that, that was like a fixture in the town that everybody had to deal with.
A greedy mayor. Gee, where did you get that idea?
Yeah, right. I didn't say it was an original idea. I just said. So anyway, then you have the Grace telling the girls a story. And I thought this moment really worked. Whereas I feel like a lot of times, Grace isn't able to kind of use her trauma in kind mm-hmm. of an effective way. It's just sort of trauma. Whereas here she's able to kind of use her life experience, her trauma, to give these girls like a really sweet, encouraging story about how she felt. She just imagined holding her big sister's hand. And it helped her get through the night alone at the new orphanage. I thought that was a really well done scene and a really good story.
Yeah, I do. I think it was a really beautiful moment. And just seeing that, how close of a relationship that Lillian and Grace do have with those girls and how much it was really sweet. And just, I'm hoping that their experiences, Lillian and Grace, of being separated, especially will help the girls. If there is a future season, help the girls being separated now.
Better be a future season.
Yeah. And I'm really seeing how they help these girls. It was very sweet. Very sweet.
Everybody, this is my daughter, Kira.
Hi, Kira.
Is 8 years old, and she is a big-time Hardy. She loves Jack and Elizabeth. She thinks Nathan is not worthy of Elizabeth.
Oh!
And she has been watching When Hope Calls, so she wanted to come on and say what she thought about it.
Yeah, what do you think? What's the verdict?
Sam shouldn't be in love with Lillian.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of what two boys like one girl. So I don't think both boys should love one girl. I think they should love different girls.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes the heart wants, but you're right. They're not both going to be able to win her heart. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. So your team, Gabe, then.
You like Gabe
yeah.
better?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree with you. Good choice.
What did you think about Chuck's mom?
Tess.
I don't really like her.
Not a big fan, huh? Yeah. Why don't you like her?
She's just so cruel and mean.
So mean, yeah. Yeah. I understand. Well, thanks for sharing your thought on the season. That's awesome. We love it.
What do you want to say really fast?
No.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
After that really cute mini review that we had, we want to talk a little bit about our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. We are delighted to be talking about Glamourbox. And a lot of times that's the thing we forget when making our outfits for the holidays, is the perfect accessory. And that's what Glamourbox is for. It can really help you to find the perfect thing that will just add that spice to your holiday ensembles. And they send you every month a necklace, a bracelet, and a pair of earrings. And so that's really cool. And right now you can get $5 off your first month subscription by visiting glamourjewelrybox.com using code Hallmarkies. And Cammy, you got to see what Glamourbox can send. What'd you think?
I loved it. I really thought that it lives up to its name. It is glamorous, but it's not horribly expensive. And it just added that perfect little bit of elegance. I especially loved the earrings that I saw. The teardrop with the gem hanging down. It made me feel like I was going to a ball. And it was, this is my first little bit of Hardy swag that I received since joining the team. So that makes it extra fun.
With Glamourbox, you get affordable monthly jewelry subscription service sent right to your door. It's really fun. And like I said, $5 off your first month subscription at glamourjewelrybox.com using code Hallmarkies. So definitely check it out. So Nathan arrives and he tells Gabe that his plan to catch Sinclair is very risky, incredibly risky. And you kind of get this little bit of a past of their... he's like, about Gabe's skill in training and
Nathan's,
other things.
Nathan's and skill. Nathan's,
that, well, they talk about both of them about it. And so I thought that was kind of fun to see that banter between the two of them.
It was hysterical. Just the whole him saying, what did you get in our marksmanship? Oh, I passed. I got a C+. Yeah, Gabe just looks at it like, excuse me, what? I'm kidding. And I think it's also really important to remember that this plan is incredibly risky. This plan is going to put their lives on the line, especially Gabe's. And so for Nathan to realize that we need to keep things lighthearted and we can't forget the banter and we can't forget to laugh, I think it just was a really great thing that he did for Gabe to help kind of calm the nerves and just keep things a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also risky for Tess, definitely, as she's sort of playing this
right
double agent kind of role in a way.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking about between the two of them.
Yeah, the whole plan. Why don't you explain a little bit what this plan is, Cammy?
Oh, okay. So Tess is going in as a double agent. So she's going to make it look like she is working with Sinclair, and she's going to feed him the information that Gabe wants. And then they have a plan, Gabe and Nathan, they have a plan to sneak Meeks in. Only Meeks isn't actually in the wagon. So it's going to be a way to nab Sinclair. But the big thing is that the whole reason they're going through with this plan is Gabe says that embezzlement isn't enough. It's not a cut and dried way to make sure that Sinclair stays in prison, because Nathan suggests that. Mm-hmm, Nathan says, let's just get him on the embezzlement. And he said, no, it's not enough. But attacking a Mountie, that's cut and dried. So once again, we have a noble law enforcement officer who is willing to put himself completely on the line, and is willing to risk bodily harm and maybe even death if Sinclair is a good shot. That Nathan is very, very clear on that point. But he's willing to risk that to make the town safe and to catch the bad guy.
Right. Yeah. And Sinclair, he's worried. He thinks that the whole Meeks thing is a trap. I think it takes something like that to catch this kind of guy. Like, you're not just going to catch him through some normal stuff. Like, you have to be a little more creative.
Well, and they end up not even needing the plan because like you said, Sinclair figures out that it is a trap and he takes matters into his own hands and he keeps Tess in the room and says, we're having a conversation with one of the most respected citizens in Brookfield. So stay here and chat with us while I go. I said, oh man. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was like, oh, like it really till the end there, I was thinking like, is Tess really gonna, is she really like that type of thing? It was like really to the last minute for me.
It was a fun scene when Tess like holds him down with the gun and Ronnie is just like completely useless as a human being.
Oh my word. The strong arm and the coward. That's what I'm calling the two of them. The strong arm and the coward. Yeah. Oh my gosh. He is totally useless. And then when, what's his name? Frank, the goon, when Ronnie, being trying to be noble, comes in and Tess, are you okay? He walks at the door and bang.
That poor guy has gotten more injuries this season.
That poor nose.
I know, right?
And in the exact same spot too. Yeah. I felt so bad for him.
I don't know. I don't feel that bad for him. I feel like he kind of got what he deserved a little bit.
He did have it coming because you do not take stolen funds.
Come on. But I have to say that Maggie became my favorite person, #favorite person, because she tells Grace, sometimes it's better to be happy than to be right.
I loved that.
It was really good. Really, really good. And so then Chuck goes out on the cattle drive to help his mom. And Tess says,
and to get away.
Yeah. And Tess tells Grace, Chuck will be sorry to have missed you. And that he said that he needed a break from Brookfield. So she tells
Which that was kind of twisting Chuck's words. That wasn't truthful. So I don't know what she has. Like, does Tess have this ultimate thing that like, she just doesn't want her son to be happy?
Well, she doesn't want him to be happy with Grace. She wants him to be happy with Lucy.
Well, yes, but also she wants him to be happy in the way that she wants him to be like her husband.
Yeah, like his dad. And that's, you know, they're different people. And I don't know, she should be happy that he's happy. And he's not doing anything wrong. He's being a veterinarian.
Yeah.
And liking a girl who takes care of orphans. It's not like she's a bad person.
Right. That's true. When you say it like that, that's funny.
She's a young woman. She could be doing other things with her life, but she's taking care of orphans. It's not like she's some awful, like, murderer, bank robber, like a harlot or something. Yeah, like, no.
It's like disliking Florence Nightingale. Like, how dare she? Like, what? What are you doing?
How do you do that?
Yeah. So there we go. And so then Tess says to Ronnie, you were in trouble. You asked for my help. And now you are free and clear. And then we have Helen is getting ready to go. And she basically says, like, I can't do it. I can't go by myself. And so they decide that Grace is going to have to go with Helen to England. And
she was supposed to have a chaperone.
Yeah. Right. Which I think it's a smarter idea for one of the girls to go with her anyways, because what if she gets there and like her grandpa's really rude or mean or like not a kind person, they're able to take her home if, or take her back to Brookfield if it ends up being a terrible situation or something.
So this is when Lillian hears Sam and Gabe, and she says, "What danger?" And then she says to Gabe, "Instead of assigning me a bodyguard next time, please talk to me." And he says, you ran into a burning building to save a man's life. I didn't want to take the chance. So there you go. There's that sort of tension. I still think he should have talked to her.
Yeah.
But
definitely. Yeah.
Does anyone else think that she was a little too hard on Sam for how angry she got with him?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
The guy was protecting you. Give them a break.
I think at the end of the day, though, her anger came from not being told. And not only was she lied to by Gabe, she was lied to by Sam. And so giving him the cold shoulder a little bit, like, I think that's worthy because she feels lied to. She feels betrayed.
So we have a nice scene between Grace and Lillian where Grace is upset about having to leave. And Lillian says, "Before we didn't know how to find each other, and now we do." So I thought that was nice.
Yeah, that was so cute. It was touching. It was... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one tiny little detail that I don't know who else caught this, but being a mom and also being on the other end, being a little sister, this got me. And I started to cry right at this, and it seems kind of silly. It seems a little thing to cry over. But the fact that Lillian had cutlery and plates in her hand, and Grace started coming at her for a hug, and Lillian immediately put down the stuff and gave her a hug, and I just went, oh my gosh. I've got dishes, you know. She just boom, put it down and hug, because when my kids come toward me and it's obvious that they need a hug, you don't ask questions, you put it down. And also, I was the youngest of six. And so when I needed a hug from my mom, from my dad, from my brothers, and they put whatever they were doing down to reach out and hug me, that's something that meant more than anything. So it was a teeny tiny little moment. I don't know if it was Morgan's idea. I don't know if it was Megan Follows. Hello, Megan, by the way. Awesome job. I'm a huge fan of yours for Anne of Green Gables. So I love that you directed these last two episodes. Anyway, so I don't know if it was her idea. I don't know if it was Morgan or Jocelyn, but whoever did it, that was an amazing moment that touched me big time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really a sweet, the whole scene was very sweet. And so then Chuck says, "You really matter to me, Grace, and I hope I matter to you." Boom, boom, boom.
Oh my God.
And we get our kiss. And yay, one of the things, it was really fun.
Oh my gosh.
Amy, were you super excited?
Yes. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Now, if they drag it out for, you know, a million seasons, and they're not like engaged within the next season and a half, I'm protesting. Like, I am not okay. I get Lillian's a little more reserved, a little bit, you know, it's gonna take her longer to decide. Okay, that's fine. That's Lillian's personality, that's Lillian's character. Okay, that's good. You know, with Grace is a more fast-paced individual, and so is Chuck. So the two of them, if they're not engaged within the next 15 episodes, if this keeps going for 15 episodes, I'm gonna be a little angry.
I'm with you because
tell us how you really feel, Amy.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
not sure I got that.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it, okay? No. I'm sorry, Grace and Elizabeth. Jack and Elizabeth made me very angry.
Agreed, 100%. That drove me crazy. I'm just like,
no, it did me too.
It was so slow. I'm just like, come on. So this was very satisfying, and because Amy and I are big fans of kissing in shows and movies.
You can add me to that list because yes. So am I. I mean, I'm the one See, they for everybody listening, they don't know me that well yet. So I'm the newbie. Yeah. So you can add me to that list. I'm the one that when they throw the kiss in the last 5 minutes, I'm like, no, yeah. No.
Because we did a whole podcast on Hallmark kisses.
It was like our top 10 best Hallmark kisses coming from the person who's never been kissed over here. And we did top 10 Hallmark kisses.
So next up,
we
next
need to
time,
do another one.
Yeah, when we do part two, we'll totally have Cammie on. Because this was really good. This was really romantic. It was really nice. They're both leaving on trips.
They have such a good energy together. Like, it was so believable that I was like, oh my gosh. And it's probably just because they're an amazing actor and actress, but just their I don't know how else to say it, but like just their energy, their chemistry, like it just worked so well. And I loved it.
Well, and let's not forget the things that he said to her. I rode all night to see you. I got a long ride back, but it was so worth it just to see your beautiful face. Oh my gosh! Who would not melt into a puddle at the very first word?
Like, he could have pulled out a ring at that moment and I would have been happy. Like, honestly, I would have been sold.
They got a kiss first, honey.
It was
We got to hear an I love you. Before the ring, we got to hear an I love you.
And please. Not only did they kiss, but they managed to kiss without exhausting the Bed Bath & Beyond like Jack does with a billion candles.
He kissed her on the hilltop with nothing around. Thank you very much.
Anyway, if we see any candles in this show, I'm going to lose my mind.
They don't have it. Maybe that's how Jack got so many candles, is he got them from Brookfield and Hope Valley.
You are so mean.
No, we're just teasing. But anyway, it was really good. And so let's talk about the season as a whole and maybe even how we feel about the year.
Is there one thing I can add real quick?
Yeah, please.
That
There's
I noticed.
One thing I want to add too. So.
Sorry. And just remind me of that when you said Hope Valley and Brookfield, when they were looking at that map of where to go through, I paused it. And there was other cities that had been mentioned in the two shows. There was no Hope Valley on that map.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I was like, because I paused it and I'm like, I want to see where Hope Valley is in relation to Brookfield. And I'm like, wait, it's not on this map. Is it that far away? Like, I don't know. But yeah, that was just my personal.
That is a good catch.
All right. What was your final takeaway?
Well, my thing was how they handled the whole Helen situation. Not only did Grace tell the story to give Helen courage, but the fact that they are acknowledging that both her parents were lost at sea, of course she doesn't want to get on that ship. And, you know, she's saying, don't make me do it. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other people who would have said, you're getting on that ship and it's final. Mm-hmm. And Maggie could have been, I'll give her a sedative, knock her out. But you know, Maggie was very, very understanding. That's very traumatic for a 12-year-old girl. And she lost both her parents out at sea. You know, just I thought the whole situation was handled so well. Not too rough, not too tender. You know, because Lillian and Grace say, we have to get her there. And I loved that whole thing. Yeah. And then Lillian, because Grace is the famous storyteller, Lillian cuddling with Mary Louise at the very end and telling her the story, you know, because she's the one that's left behind. And two more things. The whole sister dynamic between Sophia and Helen. Because we've seen them in tiffs in two episodes. Mm-hmm. And so just to see how much they really do love each other and how much they are going to miss each other, and having Helen tell Sophia, be sure to write me when Fred beats you in jacks, when Mary Louise learned all of her multiplication. You know, she's giving credence to all the things that she knows are going to happen. it was very sweet. And then the ending, the big cliffhanger ending about the report on Grace, that what's his name? I don't even think he has a name, but that the man hands to Tess Stewart at the end and went, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're trying to ruin your son's happiness. Oh, I'm just glad that Grace. Kiss. I'm just glad that kiss didn't happen in front of mom, because that would have been that would have been terrible.
But like the whole town saw it, so like she knew. She's gonna know.
she's gonna know, but she did not know at that point, and she couldn't ruin it. She could not ruin the moment.
In general, kisses are probably better when they don't happen in front of your mom.
Yeah.
Safe, as a general rule, that's incredibly true. I'll keep quiet on that subject.
Anyway, so let's talk for a second about the season as a whole and how we feel kind of about the year of Hallmark Television, just for a second. So I just feel like this show was, maybe I had went into it with very low expectations. But I just thought that it was way better than I expected. I think it's been pretty entertaining and well made. I think they've really put some money into this show. I think the acting's all been good. I think the pacing has been more to my liking than I expected. overall, I just actually really enjoyed it. I think it's one of the stronger seasons of television from Hallmark that I've seen. Mm-hmm. I think. What do you think, Amy?
I completely agree. I was really worried at the beginning of this that it was going to be just a carbon copy of One Calls a Heart. I was like, they're just going to bring the same thing over the other side, and it's not going to draw me in. But I think what really drawed me in is they really took that ensemble cast aspect, which I love. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about One Calls a Heart now, you know. The first half of the One Calls a Heart season this year, I was like, okay, can we just get on with it already? And then when they really tightened it up and they re-edited everything, it was so much better, in my opinion. I think that they took that attitude of an ensemble cast and really the whole community having their own stories, and they put that into this new show, and that made me really happy. As far as like comparing it to the other shows on Hallmark Channel, I think we had really good Witch season. I don't know, I don't watch Chesapeake Shores, so I don't know what was going on there. I heard it wasn't good. So you know, we had a really good last half of When Calls the Heart, really great When Hope Calls. I love this show now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Good Witch is always fantastic. So
yeah I mean, we're basically the same. I do agree about When Calls the Heart. I think that with what they did with that editing was a miracle. I cannot believe how seamless it was. I don't know how they pulled that off. It was not really impressive.
We need to get an editor from When Calls the Heart on, just to like, I don't know how much they're allowed to talk about, obviously, about that, but just their whole process.
Yeah.
It's really so really interesting impressive. To me. Yeah,
but I agree. I thought that it improved the show, the pacing. I thought I liked it better, and I thought that was a huge accomplishment. And then also, I liked Good Witch. There were a few things about it that frustrated me. I don't think it was as good as the previous season, but I liked it for the most part. And then Chesapeake Shores, everyone knows my thoughts about that show. And then we have this When Hope Calls that was really strong. And so there you go. That's my thoughts about the year in Hallmark Television. Cammie, what about you?
I also don't watch Chesapeake Shores, so I can't say anything about that. I thought that with Good Witch, I thought they ended Bailey Madison's time on the show really strong.
I agree with you.
I thought they did a really good job of ending her time on a good note, on a strong note. I didn't become a podcaster until about halfway through Good Witch, so I didn't keep tabs on it the way I probably would have. but I enjoyed it. It's Good Witch is not my favorite television show, but it's pleasurable. It's fun. I'm becoming a lot more of a James Denton fan than I ever thought I would be. I never saw myself being a James Denton fan, but he's very good. He's really very good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to disagree on the Vincent thing. Sorry, Rachel. Yeah. I love Adam.
Not just me, the whole podcast
I agree with Cammy. Vincent not being there or not being there didn't impact me all that much. But I didn't want Amber to attack me, so no, I'm kidding. Amber would never.
I have an ally. Yay!
High five, Amy. At least Vincent didn't make Stephanie cook her own date dinner.
Okay, yeah, that was a little rude, but I'll give you that.
Moving on.
This is not the Good Witch podcast.
When Calls the Heart, oh my gosh, it was such a dramatic year. To be completely honest, I didn't think, how do I put this? Because I knew the show would survive. Mm-hmm. I knew the show would make it, but I didn't think it would thrive the way it did without someone.
Yeah. I think
because
the tone shift was great. The shift in the tone.
Yes, absolutely. And they didn't just sink the character of Abigail into a black hole. They gave an explanation as to why she wasn't there. And I don't know, because I did think that it was a lot of Abigail and Elizabeth, Abigail and Elizabeth, Abigail and Elizabeth. And that was fine because Abigail is Elizabeth's best friend and she just lost her husband recently. So that so she's going to lean on her best friend. But after the switch, there, just like both of you said, there was a different tone. There was a shift. And everybody really stepped up and came together. And it really made a big ensemble piece. Yeah. And I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was great. And once again, I was worried. I was worried about When Hope Calls. I thought, oh, spinoff. Yeah. But it was fresh, it was original, it was light, but it had its deeper and more action-packed moments too. Now, I'll be completely honest, I won't be Pollyanna here. There were parts of it that I didn't quite enjoy, but I found, because my daughter, Kira, in order to get ready for the podcast, she went through it pretty quickly. She wasn't watching episode by episode with me. Mm-hmm. But when I was watching the episodes in succeeding order, I was able to enjoy it more. I was like, okay, you know, and the parts that didn't quite work as well for me, they got lost in the stuff I did like. So it didn't really matter as much. And so yes, I'm very, very pleased with this year's television. One thing I will say with When Calls the Heart is there were a couple of things. You couldn't tell very much, but there were a couple of things where I saw something and it looked rushed or it looked cut or choppy. And so I said, you know what? This has been a very rough year for them. Mm-hmm. We are going to cut them some slack. Now, next season, if it's a little choppy, they'll have something to say.
Next season, I want them to have their good, great, because they're great camera work, great editing, and then I want them to have though the new tone or the tone they brought in this year. It was so enlightening. It's so great.
I agree. Yeah. The only thing that really didn't work for me about that season of When Calls the Heart was I didn't think that the Faith Carson romance worked. I love both those actors. I just didn't think it worked. I didn't think they had chemistry. It was it was not for me. But other than that, I thought it was pretty strong.
I need to send you my fan fiction on Faith and Carson. That'll change your mind.
I bet you it's better.
That'll change your mind.
I thought it was really awkward and it just didn't work for me. And I'm glad they tried it. They gave it a shot, but I kind of hope they pull back on that. But that's just my opinion. You know,
I enjoyed them together. I think the only thing that makes it hard for me is because I know in real life there's such an age gap between those two actors. So that's what makes it a little bit difficult for me. But at the same time, we might not get a lot of it this coming season because Andrea Brooks, I think 2 days ago, went on maternity leave. So she's not going to be in the full season of One Calls the Heart.
I don't know. I saw her in a lot of behind the scenes photos.
And, that's true. Yeah.
I adore Andrea Brooks. She's been on the podcast several times. I love her. So it doesn't have anything to do with, I just didn't think it worked. And that's just my opinion. But that would be the only major feedback that I would have.
I just don't want them to take that out because then that's one part of the ensemble thing that's just going to be removed. Mm-hmm. And that would, you know.
I mean, I don't want them to remove the characters. I just didn't think that that ended up working. But anyway, so that's sort of our feedback for the year of Hallmark Television. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this episode, about when Hope Calls, and about the year as a whole, and what you would say that each of the series could improve, or what your thoughts are listening. Please let us know either in the comment section or on Twitter. We would love to hear your thoughts. And so that would be really fun. So we did it. We finished. We covered the whole year.
So are we only doing Christmas for the next 2 months?
The only thing that we have coming up is this Thursday, we have a special episode of our Friendship series just for Halloween. We even wore costumes. Pretty exciting. Me and Elisa, we are covering the great Hallmark Halloween movie, October Kiss, one of our favorites. And
yes! So, that's a good one.
And so that will be the last non-Christmas episode of the podcast until...
And you're doing it on Halloween. I'm proud of you. Yeah. I'm proud of you, girl. Yeah.
So we didn't get sucked totally into the Christmas just yet.
Yes, that's right. And so look forward to that. It should be really fun. And then, we'll have in January, we'll have our episode that we always do with Ruth, our top 10 non-Christmas Hallmark movies of the year. And so with Ruth Hill. And so that'll be really fun. And and then we'll dive in whenever When Calls the Heart is starting in probably February.
Yeah,
February. And so we'll be ready to go. And so it's been a great year. It's been very, sometimes very difficult to cover all of the television series. And I couldn't have done it without all of the amazing support from everybody. And so I'm so grateful. And we'll look forward to 2020. It's going to be super fun.
Oh.
Thank you guys so much. And so Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter at It's Amy Craig. And make sure to subscribe to the Hallmark Youth Podcast YouTube channel so you can see our beautiful faces when we're recording and all of our fun Christmas outfits that will be coming.
Baby.
Mm-hmm. We got the Christmas lights ready, guys. Okay. It's happening.
Yeah, I've got a million so Christmas scarves.
Yeah. And so, Cammy, where can people find you?
On Twitter and Instagram, it's at Cammy Drama Girl, Cammy spelled K-A-M-I. And on Facebook, I have the Hooked Hardy Facebook page, and that's Hardy with an I-E. And then there's my blog, hookedhardy.com. And I'll see if Rachel will let me post the link to the 2 fan fiction stories about Faith and Carson for all of you, team infirmaries. Yeah.
I encourage all fan fiction. Send it your way. Send it our way.
Let's
do it. That'll be awesome. So yes, we will have links for all of that in the description section. Definitely check it out. Make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all over social media. You can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media and on iTunes and YouTube. I have weekly family movie night picks that I do that are really fun. So check that out. And if you consider becoming a patron of the channel, we talk about all of these episodes in the Facebook group. And it's only $2 a month to be eligible for our exclusives and also our giveaways that we do on a regular basis. So definitely check that out. There'll be information in the description section. And also we have our merch includes When Hope Calls inspired merch and When Calls the Heart inspired merch. So if you're looking for the perfect gift for your hearty in your life for Christmas, check out our merch store. You'll really find the perfect thing for you.
Mr. Cammy, are you listening?
Yes. So definitely check that out. And thank you so much, ladies. I can't say enough how much I am grateful for all.
We love you.
We love you.
And so we will talk to you all later. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.